So you're just going to have to lay on the floor so you can read it.
Should I restart the recording?
Hold on, let me say this again.
It's okay, Rob. Fortunately, that didn't come up.
This is printed on the wrong side of the page.
Thank you very much, Professor, for those inspiring words of introduction.
That's a lot of focus. Yeah, it's upside down.
Okay, so we're starting a new Gemara today. A Gemara in Maseches Brachos. It's halachic reasoning. So we're going to be finding the reasoning behind one of the most common Jewish acts that we do every day. In fact, once when my father was visiting me in Yeshiva, when I first arrived in Yeshiva, he asked me, "Do you like daven all day? How much of your day is taken up davening?" And right then and there, sitting at the restaurant in the old city, I counted actually how much time is spent in a Jew's day davening, or involved in davening, involved in brachas, saying brachas. And it came out to quite a lot. Quite a lot of time. All those brachas and, you know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds here and there, they all add up. They all add up, yeah. Yeah, all adds up. Anyway, the question is, where does this come from? What is the source for all of the brachas that we make every day? As a slight introduction to this, the only brachas that we have, what is a question? What are the only brachas that are midiraisa? Which are the brachas that are diraisa? Shaloya sani goy? Is that diraisa?
I would say no.
Very good. Because I'm Muslim. How, where's the source? How do you know? Yeah. So that is the, that's midiraisa. Good.
Stuff stubbing and
then
it runs out.
Barachta. Very good. Very good.
It means escape or run away or something.
Yeah,
very nice. Okay, so that's one. Any others?
What was the question?
Brachas midiraisa. Brachas that the Torah says. Make brachas. I don't think you would necessarily know it if you're thinking about where does it say in the Torah. You would probably only know it if you have learnt that area of halacha. So another one is Birkas HaTorah. Because the Torah says, "Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Goydel Lalukenu." When I call out in the name of God, meaning Devar Hashem, in the words of Hashem, Havu Goydel Lalukenu, then we all give praise to Hashem.
We say that, every, we say that every morning, but where is that?
Chazal, where is that? I think it's in Tehillim. We say that before Shemena Esrei.
Doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu say that? I think in towards the end, and the last parsha.
Shema Shema Kroch Havigoda Lelekenu. Oh, you're right. It is in Devarim. Very good. You're right. Devarim 32:3. So that's right at the end.
See.
Yeah.
How about Alaino?
Barry, you are good for something. Indisposable, indispensable, and all the rest. Aleinu.
I'll just take the word.
That's
Aleinu.
One of the. That's
Aleinu.
One of the Aleinu few Aleinu things that.
Aleinu. Right away.
That's not a bracha. That's a tefillah. But a bracha, okay. A bracha. So Birkas HaTorah. So Chazal tell us that Kishem Hashem Ekra Havigoy Lelekenu is talking about is referring to the Birkas HaTorah. That's the bracha before the Torah.
So how do you get that from the pasuk?
When I call out in the name of God, meaning when I'm studying His Torah, learning Dvar Hashem, Havu Goydel Elokeinu, then we will give praise to God. And that is the Birkas HaTorah of giving praise to God for the Torah that we have.
Okay.
As an introduction to Torah study.
All right.
So, or reading from the Torah.
Which we say in the beginning, the first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And we say before we read from the Torah as well. So these, in fact, are the only brachas that are sourced in the Torah. These are the only brachas midiraisa. So if we would have...
Just two.
That's it. If you would open up a siddur, a biblical siddur, it would not be quite as long as as our version of the liturgy today. Yeah. So all of the rest of the brachas are sourced with the Rabbanon, are sourced from the rabbis instituted them. Okay, that's as by way of introduction to the Gemara we're going to study now. However, we're going to see that the Gemara is still going to ask for a source, because as we know with everything that is that the rabbis introduce, they don't just do it midaitum. They don't just make something up out of their own volition. There has to be some sort of scriptural source that we like to be an allusion, what's called an asmachta. Asmachta is from the Lashon smicha. Smicha means to lean on it. So we're taking our halakha and it's sort of leaning up against the wall of this biblical source. So this is the question that's going to be asked by the Gemara. So let's see where we can run straight into the Gemara after we see the first lines of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Ketzad mevarchim al haperis.
Ketzad
meaning how, in what manner.
Okay.
Ka'ezetzad, as I think the Rambam the Rambam I think translates it, says it's a neutrikon. It's an abbreviated word put together.
Acronym.
Ketzad. No, Ketzad is Ketzad. I don't know how you would.
What did you call it?
It's a Hebrew word. It's a notrikon.
Which probably sounds like Greek.
It's the word that's used by.
It's probably come from Greek.
Uh huh. So notrikon is when they squeeze many words up into.
So this is not exactly an acronym, but this
not
is
exactly an acronym. Yeah, ke'ezetzad.
Okay.
Yeah, in what manner does one make brachas on peiros, on fruits? And then the Mishnah goes through al peiros ilan, on the fruits of the trees who omer bo'er pri eitz chutz min hayayin, aside from yayin wine al hayayin who omer bo'er pri hagefen. Hagofen, because Yayin gets a special bracha, right? Interestingly, over here, this may be a source of another class that we can give when we finish this series. But it says over here, on peiros ha'ilan, on fruits of the tree, you say boirei pri ha'etz, except wine, because wine gets a special bracha. Is wine a fruit of the tree?
Well, it's of a vine, but the vine is permanent. This is
okay.
Because it's not something that it doesn't grow anew from year to year.
That's not my question. We know that grapes are berry priates, but wine, is wine a fruit of the tree?
Ah.
Wine is a byproduct of a fruit of the tree.
Because you grow the grapes for the wine. That's what the grapes are all about. It's really wine.
No, I have grapes. You can have grapes as they are.
You're British, we don't count. This is wine encapsulated in a little
capsule, sacks, yeah.
It's called.
Yeah, so what's the inference? What's the inference from over here? This is a fascinating thing, and it opens up, it unlocks a whole big sugya, very very complicated sugya with a lot of machlekas involved. But the inference is that wine would have been called a fruit of the tree. But for the problem that, but for the higher level of wine, because that's, as the Gemara says, ishtana le maliusa, because it gets better, it improves, right? When you squeeze the wine out and it turns into the grape juice out of the grapes, it improves and it turns into wine, so it gets its own special bracha. But if it would just be in juice form, or if we were talking about another fruit juice,
like orange,
that
juice
would also be Bayre Prihites. Right, just that inference. It says Al Peiros Ilan, on fruits of the tree, you say Bayre Prihites, except wine. Who said wine was a fruit of the tree? Wine is a byproduct. The inference is if it would be another sort of juice, it would be Bayre Prihites. So this is a major discussion amongst the poskim as well, a big sugya about it.
You're inferring in
Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish base, if you want to have a look at it. Reish base or Reish Yud base.
You're inferring this from a lack of a specification.
It seems to include juices. Just wine is different because it changes for the better. But other juices would indeed get a break rates. It's not for the better because it's just juice, right? A fruit and the juice is the same. Wine becomes better because it turns into alcohol.
What bracha do I say on orange juice?
So excellent. So lemaisa, practically we say shakel. Yeah. Why? Because the juice of a fruit is just called zeo be'alma. It's just called like sweat, just juice. It's not the actual fruit. The fruit itself, that's the actual fruit. But the liquid that comes out of it is just zeo be'alma. It's just sweat.
In Turkish, the word for orange juice is orange water.
Great. Excellent. Excellent. That's exactly this point. It's orange water. Yeah, it's orange water.
Nowadays you have these groves owned by a company like Tropicana.
Fantastic. So this is the question.
Specifically,
this is where the question arises.
Never sold
yeah, yeah.
Oranges.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, you've probably learned this before. Have you learned this before? Okay. So according to the Chazon Ish, holds, and it's based on the sugya, which is much bigger than how I'm saying it now. But the Chazon Ish holds that if a fruit would be specifically grown for the purpose of making juice out of it, then that would be called the pri, right? That is the fruit. The fruit is, people don't eat as orange.
Okay.
They eat it as the orange juice. And in such a case, the bracha would indeed be Bray Priates. So according to the Chazon Ish, if you would drink a glass of Tropicana juice, that would be, you would say Bray Priates on it.
But we don't hold that.
Right? But we don't, that's not practically how we hold.
In this country, oranges from Florida are used for juice, while oranges from California are used for fruit.
Okay.
Now, would that have a significance in that?
Yeah, so this would be it. If it's true that all oranges grown in Florida are specifically grown for making juice out of them, maybe a few of them are used, you know, randomly
for fruit, primarily for juice.
To the Chazon Ish, the bracha would be appropriate on all of your Florida Natural and your Tropicana and all of those juices.
But they don't do that.
I'm not sure about the Stop and Shop own brand. That I can't vouch for.
Well, the truth is,
whether they're using oranges, that's the suffix.
Because it diverts the learning. I can tell you a little bit more.
I guess maybe afterwards.
Like that. Okay.
We'll do after. Okay, good. So this is.
So there might be an argument that there's a possibility of an argument that you could say, Bray Priates.
Yeah.
But we don't do that, though.
We don't do that. Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking a question may arise if you have a glass of orange juice on your table and you have some other fruits on your table as well, and it's all in front of you at the time, b'shas bracha, at the time you're saying the bracha, and you said a break your eights on an apple. That case, there might be a suffix, there might be a side to say that you already fulfilled your obligation of the bracha on the juice.
You don't say one. Because it's not
but probably still then, right, because of suffix, I would still say, because our minhag is not to make our eitz on juice, then it's hard to say that you had it in mind to be mitzi. If you would have had it in mind, then for sure you're yitzi, absolutely. If you say break your eitz by accident, absolutely you're yitzi.
They tell a story of someone who was having a test for smichas rabbonus. His rebbe says to him, here's a bowl of fruit. That was his test. Which fruit would he eat first?
Which would he make the bracha on? Probably some of it was in half, and some of it was shivas haminim, and all of this. Yeah, very good. I like it. Very practical test. Anyway, so this is the Mishnah. We'll carry on. Yeah. So the Mishnah then, and it goes through all of the different brachas, but the Gemara is bothered by the Mishnah's assumption that there is a concept of brachas. Ketzad mevrochim al haperis. Yeah, in what manner do we say bracha on peiris? One second. How do we know that you even make a bracha on peiris before we get on to discussing what the bracha is on peiris? So this is the question of the Gemara. Have a look in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Minahani mili. From where are these words? What is a scriptural source that you actually have a mitzvah to make a bracha before you eat foods at all? Where do we know that there is a mitzvah to make a bracha?
So okay. This is going back on the first sentence.
This is even before the first sentence. The first sentence implied that there's brachas, or says that there's brachas. Where? How do you know you make brachas? Yeah?
Hey, mem meaning?
Hani mili. Mina, from where? Hani mili are these words. Is this concept?
Right.
Where is this concept of brachas? What is a scriptural source, right? Remember, we said the only brachas we have in the Torah are Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaMazon is the grace after meals, and Birkas HaTorah is the bracha before learning the Torah. Those are the only biblical brachas that we have. All of the other brachas, what is the source for them? So this is the question of the Gemara. And hopefully by the time we get to the end of this Amud, we will have the answer. Okay? So we're going to see, we say every morning, those of us that arrive with enough time to shul, we say the Yud Gimel Midas Shehatara Nidreshes Bohem.
Yeah, I'm not starting in.
Hmm?
I'm not starting in.
You're not?
He might start again.
You might start again. Okay. We say the 13 middas, right? The 13 middas that the Torah is nidreshes bohem, that the Torah is expounded, is learnt out from, right? This is the Torah, the concept that the Torah has a whole load of kladim, has a whole load of principles and rules, but the details of those are locked beneath the surface. And so the Yidden were given these tools in order to be able to expound and extrapolate and understand the depth of the Torah and the meaning behind the Torah. And one way that we have to do that is these 13 principles, the 13 middos. And we're going to see a bunch of those over here. Right? We're going to see there's a lot of them, because nowhere in the Torah does it explicitly say, thou shalt make a bracha before thou partake of thy food. So we have to find some sort of source and be able to extrapolate and expound from there to know that this is referring to making a bracha before eating. So let's fire ahead and go right ahead straight into the Gemara. Mina, hani, mili. From where are these words? How do you know you have to make a bracha? De Tanu Rabbonin. As it is taught in a brisa. Tanu Rabbonin is always a famous brisa. A world famous brisa. Okay, why is that relevant? Because there are some brises that are less famous, and sometimes if a question is brought from one of those brises and it argues on another Tana or another Amira, then if it's less famous, we're going to say, he didn't know that that Brisa, and that would be okay. But if he's arguing on a Tanu Rabbanan, on a very famous Brisa, then that's a big problem. That's much more of a problem. So this is a famous Brisa. It's not relevant for our learning over here, but just keep it away, store it away in your memory bank. The Tanu Rabbanan, as it's taught in a Brisa, a pasuk in Vayikra, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. We'll read the whole pasuk. Uvashana Haravis Yia Kol Pirio Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. And in the fourth year, all of your fruits will be Kodesh, will be holy, Hilulim Lashem, as a praise to Hashem. This is the pasuk which follows the mitzvah of Orla. Right, when you have fruits in Eretz Yisrael, the first 3 years after that fruit tree being planted, the first three years of fruits are orla, they are forbidden. You're not allowed to partake of them.
Not from
Chutz Laaretz? Not in Chutz Laaretz. This is a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs, Noigos Baaretz. One of the mitzvahs which are only practiced in Eretz Yisrael, like Shemitah and Yovel and all these other ones. Truma and Maisa, those are all mitzvahs to Luyus Baretz. So in the all of those first 3 years, the fruits are orla, and you're not allowed to partake of them at all. In the fourth year, though, they are kodesh hilulim lashem. They are sanctified, they are holy, hilulim lashem, as a praise to Hashem. Now, what this means is that in the fourth year, you are allowed to partake of them, but first you have to, the halacha is, you first have to redeem them. Yeah, you either have to eat them in Eretz Yisrael, like Maisa Sheni, right? They have to be eaten in Eretz Yisrael, or you can redeem them and do whatever, the money, you know, take the money to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, right? So this is this is Orla.
And then convert them to food again.
Yeah, that's right. And then in the fifth year, the fruit is yours. You're allowed to eat it and do whatever you like with it. Yeah, as the next verse says, Uvashona chamishes, and in the fifth year, toichlu es pirio, you're allowed to eat your fruit. But the fourth year, there is a halacha. It's called revai. Revai means the fourth. So this is the halacha of fruits. Kodesh hilulim lashem. For your fruits, it says, they are holy. Praises to Hashem. Hilulim is in the plural. Praises to Hashem. Melamed, this teaches, Shetu'unim bracha lifneihem ulachareim. This teaches that they require, they obligate a bracha before them and after them. Right? Your fruits, when you want to eat your fruits, they're kodesh. Hilulim lashem. They are praises to Hashem. How do you have a fruit which... How do you have praises, multiple praises to Hashem when you're eating fruit? The bracha before and the bracha afterwards. So this is the source that the Gemara first suggests for us making a bracha before eating fruits. Kodesh hilulim Hashem. Mikan, from here, Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Osa le'odam sheyitoim klum kodem sheyivarech. It is forbidden for a person to taste anything before he makes a bracha. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva says this is the source for brachas. Okay? Is that clear? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Now the Gemara is going to raise a difficulty with this being the source. Vahai. Kodesh Hilulim Lahachi Tehuda Asa. This Kodesh Hilulim, this source of holy giving praises, is that what this is coming to teach? Haimi Boyle. This Pasuk is already required, these Hilulim are already required to teach me some other halachas. Chad Da'ama Rachmana Achle Vahadar Achle. V'idach dova ton shira ton hilul. Chilul. What is the pasuk already required for? Kodesh hilulim lashem. Hilulim sounds and looks very similar to chilulim. Right? A hey and a ches. They're very similar, they look similar, and they sound very similar. It's a very similar sort of sound and similar look. Chilulim. What does chilul mean?
Machalo.
Meaning what?
A disparagement or something.
Sort of. It's a desecration, chilul Hashem, right? Chilul Hashem. Mm-hmm. Or a, call it a mundaneness, right? A chalol, a kohen, right? A kohen who became a chalol is mundane, right? He lost his sanctity, right? He lost his holiness, and there's a lack of holiness, let's call it, chilul Hashem. A chalal is an empty space, right? A chalal is an empty space. So that's this concept, a lack of something, a lack of holiness. So this is chilulim, kodesh chilulim Lashem. When it says the fruit in the fourth year, they are kodesh chilulim Lashem. What does it mean? It means that first you have to make it chilul. You have to take away that sanctity, meaning you have to redeem it. You have to redeem the fruit. So it says chil, it says, Dama Rachmana, achle, vahoda achle. Make it chilul, and then you can achila. Then you can eat it. It's a play on words over here. Achle, vahoda achle. Make it chilul, and then achila, right? Achal, lashon chilul, and then achila, lashon achila, for eating. Right? So first you have to redeem it, you have to make it mundane, and then you're allowed to eat it. And this is the concept of a fruit in the fourth year. First, you have to redeem it if you want to eat it. So, v'idach, right? And the second one, what do you mean the second one? Remember, it says chilulim. It says chilulim, which is in plural. Right? So one we wanted to say was the bracha before, one was the bracha afterwards. And now we've got a problem. Because the first chilul is required to teach me that you have to first redeem it and then eat it. So what's the second chilul for? The idach and the second one, dovar hataun shira taun chilul, something which requires shira, which requires song, that is what requires chilul, what requires redemption, what requires being redeemed. Right? Now remember, this word chilul also is like hilul, right, which is praise. So something which requires praise, that is what requires the chilul, what requires what requires being redeemed.
What does this shira mean?
Shira means song.
Yeah, but where did they get that?
So what is this referring to? This is referring to the song in the Beis HaMikdash. The songs that they would sing on when they would be bringing these things as offerings.
First fruits.
First fruits, the wine libations. Right, the wine libations is the time that they would be singing on every korban. They would sing when they would libate of the wine.
Now, how do we know that's what we're talking about?
Because the Gemara is going to explain it in more detail. So, something which requires song requires redemption. Meaning that if I were to ask you, what does Revai apply to this halacha that in the fourth year there's a certain level of holiness to the fruit produce, right? What produce would this apply to? This would only apply to something which requires song, right? And this is the point. The point is that first you have to redeem it. Achle v'hada achle. The second hilul is, this halacha that you have to redeem it only applies to something which requires shira, which requires hilul, right? Hilul, kodesh hilulim Lashem. Hilul is number one, that it requires hilul, you have to redeem it. And second one, what is the thing which requires hilul? Only something which has hilul, which has song.
Which is a seven.
So what is this? So then the Gemara is going to explain what that is. The idach, and the second one, dovah haton shira, something which requires shira, requires song, that is the produce which is ton chilul, which requires redemption. V'she'ein ton shira, and if it doesn't require shira, ein ton chilul, it does not require chilul. Ukad Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rebbe Yonason. And this is going in the within the opinion of Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rebbe Yonason. The Omer Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rebbe Yonason, that says Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rebbe Yonason. Minayin She'ein Oimrim Shira Ela Al Hayayin. From where do we know that you only say Shira on Yayin? Shenemar Vatoimer Oimrim Shira Vatoimer Lohem Hagefen Hechodalti Estiroshi Hamasamech Od Elohim Vanoshim. It says in a pasuk, the Geffen, the vine, said to them, "Shall I hold back, withhold my grapes that give pleasure to God and to man?" Right, these grapes give pleasure to God and to man. Im anoshim sameach, anoshim, people. We understand very much how wine gives pleasure to people. Right, drink enough of it, and you'll also understand. Elohim b'mem esamech. How does wine make God happy? Mikan she'ein oimrim shira el al yain. From here we know, we can see that the way that we make God happy with wine is by the shira, by the song that we sing when we do the wine libations. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rabbi Yonason, that on wine we say Shira. The only thing we say Shira on is wine, and everything else we don't say Shira on. So according to this opinion, the only thing which Ravai applies to is wine. The only thing which Ravai, these halachas of the fourth year, applies to is wine. And therefore, when we have this verse of Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, what does it refer to? First Hilul is to say you have to redeem it. And the second Hilul is to say that what do you have to redeem? Only something which you have Hilul, which you have song on, which is wine. Because of this, in this opinion, wine is the only thing we say Hillel, we say Shira on. Okay, so right now where we're holding is, we wanted to suggest that the source of brachas is from this verse, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, right? When you're partaking of your fruits, there is a hilul, there's a song which we're singing. What is the song? What are the songs? Hilulim is in plural. What are the songs? One is a bracha before, one is a bracha after. The problem is that the Gemara says that those hilulim are already required. One is required to teach me that before you partake of this ravai, this fruit from the fourth year, you have to redeem it, chilul. And the second one is, what is that fruit you have to redeem? What is the one that which requires chilul? It's something which requires hilul, requires song. And what is that? That's wine, in the opinion of Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rebbe Yonason, that says that wine is the only thing which has song. So now we are at a loss because we are stuck now. We're looking for the verse. We wanted to use Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, but that is already required for Hilchas Ravai. Hilchas Ravai is what we're learning from the word of Hilulim. So at this point, we still do not have a source to the making of brachas in the Torah. Should we call the day here, or we'll go on a little bit? A bit further, up to you guys.
No. Let's go on.
Go on. Great. Okay. Now, remember that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, says that Shira only applies to wine, right? Because the verse says the Geffen, the vine, says, "Ah, oh, should I hold back my grapes, my produce that bring pleasure to God and to man?" What brings pleasure to God? Wine brings pleasure to God. How? By the Shira. But everything else doesn't say. The apple doesn't say, "I'm going to bring pleasure to God." And the wheat doesn't say, "I'm going to bring pleasure to God" with this song. So the only thing which brings pleasure to God in the form of song, is wine. In which case, both of our hilulim are used up. Right? There's a concept which is in the rules of the expounding and the applications of all these halachas, the 13 middas. The concept is, if anything has is extraneous. If anything is extraneous, then that screams out darshani. It says, what does this mean? Why is God writing this extra word in the Torah? What is the reference over here? Why is it in the plural? Right. So if there's a plural, we've got two drushes that we can make for it. If one of those drushes is used up, then we've still got another drusha. If both of those drushes are used up, then we've got no drushes, right? So we wanted to use Kodesh Elulim Lashem, both of the drushes, for two brachas. Problem is, both of the drushes are used up. One teaches me that Revai requires redemption, and the other one teaches me that that which requires redemption is something which requires song, which is specifically wine, because wine is the only thing which requires song. Okay. However, there is a machlokes. There is a machlokes as to what requires revai. What does revai apply to? In this opinion, we see that revai only applies to grapes, right? Fruit of the vine. That's the only thing which revai applies to. So this whole concept of netta revai, the fruit of the fourth year, is only in wine. If you would take your apples off the tree, first year, asa, orla. Second year, orla. Third year, orla. Fourth year, eat it, gesundheit. If you would take your grapes off the tree, then in the fourth year you would require redemption. Right? Revai, in this opinion, only applies to fruit of the vine. And therefore, the second hillel is required. The second hillel, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, is required to teach me that that it's only something which requires hillel requires hillel. Only something which has shira, which has song, requires redemption, which is wine, fruit of the vine. Okay, but this is a machlekes. This is a dispute amongst the Amoraim. Okay, if you look down the page, there's a little hey in a square in brackets there.
Yeah.
So a few words before that, it says hanicha.
Yeah.
Hanicha lemandatani netaravai. The Gemara suggests that this would be very good. We'd all be okay, according to the one that teaches netta revai. What does netta revai mean? Revai is the fourth year. Netta means that which is planted. So in this concept of netta revai, that which is replanted has revai. An apple, is there revai? What does that which was planted mean? What's planted?
Just about anything.
Anything is planted. So netta revai means that revai applies to anything which is planted.
Why not? Why am I shaking my head? No.
Okay.
Okay. Plant an apple seed. Revai is the fourth year when there are apples. Oh, the fourth year of the tree. It's the fourth year of apples.
Fourth year of apples.
Okay.
No. Maybe fourth year of the tree.
Well, it's the fourth
year. I think it's fourth year of the tree.
You think? I think it might be. I don't know. Is it fourth year of the tree? I don't know when you start getting apples. There's a difference.
I'm not sure.
I,
Right, some fruit start sprouting instantly.
Okay,
some.
I don't have enough knowledge about it, so I have to withdraw the whole thing. Sorry.
Okay. But in this opinion, netta ravai, what netta ravai means, that anything that is planted has ravai. Right? In which case...
Netta ravai means anything that you deliberately planted or anything that grows. That, I mean, if a seed just blew off in the air and landed and then a tree came up, is that going to count as netta ravai?
I would think it applies to anything which it doesn't have to be an. I would say it doesn't have to be an active planting, but something which is planted into the ground, which is sown. Right, sown doesn't necessarily. It can be accidental sowing as well. Right, if you would be sowing your field, and one stray seed as you were sowing, went somewhere around the corner, that's still going to be have ravai apply to it. It's not only intentional planting, any planting. So anything which is planted has hilchus ravai. In which case,
this is not only trees, but it could be any kind of produce.
I don't think it applies to crops.
Vegetables,
because crops renew every year.
All right.
So it's only applying to a tree produces the same from the same
crops,
source.
Crops you never get to a fourth year.
right. Yeah. So anything which is planted, in which case, if ravai means anything or applies to anything which is planted, then the second hilulim, which was minimizing this concept of ravai, right? Achle v'hada achle. Redeem it, and then you can eat it. That's the first hilul, right? The second one, remember, we used for saying anything which requires hilul, which requires song, shira, that's what requires hilul. If it's netta ravai, everything requires hilul, because it applies to every single produce. And we're not just limiting it to only something which requires shira, meaning wine, because ravai applies to everything. In which case, according to the man de Omar, that everything falls under the category of ravai, all produce, anything planted, falls under the category of ravai, we have a leftover hilul. Right? We have a leftover hilul. One of these hiluls is not being used. One of them is used still because we require the concept of, we have to know that ravai, right, has this concept of chilul, needs to be redeemed. Now the other one, which says what needs to be redeemed, only things which have shira, that's not true, because everything needs redemption according to the man de Omar, netta ravai. Only according to the man de Omar, kerem ravai, meaning an orchard has a vineyard has the halachas of ravai. So according to that man de Omar, vineyard, then we need the second hilul. But according to the man de Omar, netta ravai, then our second hilul is still available, and still available to be used to teach me that we have to make a bracha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? So, han nicha. This is all very good according to the... This is actually okay according to the mandatani netta ravai. According to the one that teaches netta ravai, the ravai applies to all produce, in which case, the second hill which we were using that teaches me that ravai only applies to something which needs song, which is yayin, that one we're not using, because ravai applies to everything. Ella, however, le mandatani kerem ravai. However, according to the one that teaches that ravai applies to only the vineyard, my ikala meimar, what is there to say? What can we say? Yeah, according to that opinion, we are lost for a source of making brachas. De itmar, as it is said, Rebbe Chia v'Rebbe Shimon v'Rebbe, these two Amoraim, Chad tani kerem ravai. One of them teaches that ravai only applies to the vineyard. Vechad tani netta ravai, and the other one teaches that Ravai applies to anything which is planted. Okay, we're going to call it a day here. We'll stop here for now. But where we are at this point is that we try to find a source for brachas from the pasuk Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, that this produce, when you want to eat it, you have to sing for it. Sing for your food. How do you sing for your supper? By making a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. Praise to Hashem. Right? Two Hilulim. One before and one after. But the Gemara said, what do you mean? That, those Hilulim, we're already using for another drasha. What's the other drasha? That Hilulim, right? That Ravai requires Hilul, requires redemption. Number one. And number two, what is it that requires redemption? Something which requires Hilul, which requires song. Meaning wine. That is the thing which requires redemption. Two, both of those Hilulim, both of those songs are already taken, are used up.
Now, then, when you make a redemption, you have to make a bracha too.
But it's not the bracha
different bracha.
It's not the Birkas Hanenin. It's not the bracha that you make on it's Birkas HaMitzvahs, yeah. Yeah, it's not. We want to know the source of the Birkas Hanenin. Right, so this, okay, so we've used our Kodesh Hilulim, we can't use it for brachas. The Gemara does say, though, this is only going to be a problem, according to the Man D'Omar, Kerem Ravai, that Ravai only applies to Kerem, because that's where we use the second Hilulim to minimize this rule of redemption to only being something which requires song, which is a vineyard, which is wine, which is grapes. However, something... anything else doesn't apply. So we're using the second Hilulim. However, according to the opinion that Neta Ravai, that Ravai applies to everything, we don't need to use the second Hilulim to minimize the concept of Ravai to only talking about wine. We can use that one for a bracha. Okay, that's where we are now. We're still way in the middle, and we still are not even close to finding a source for brachas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the very first, I think it's the very first. Well, it must be the very first. When Cain and